We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody, as the famous Jill Metter would say. Anyway, I miss her. Hope she's having a good time up there at church camp in Colorado. So anyway, she is a instructor or teacher. She's in charge, probably, but whatever. Anyway, hope she has a great time up there. Well, let's check out some temperatures. Hopefully it doesn't get as hot as it did Saturday. Man, it was hot. 73 degrees at Hollis, 76 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 77 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. 77 degrees at Buffalo, 80 out there at Medford. Let's see what out here in the panhandle of Texas. 77 at Lipscomb. 76 at Canadian, 71 at Wellington, 76 at Odell. Childress, you're 70 degrees. All right. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I had a busy one. Played an oil and gas tournament Friday and Saturday with Blake and Brooks Brewer here. And what's his name? Sean Wilson. Anyway, we had a good time. Got to play with some good friends. Toby and Sheets and who else was there? Oh, James in the slot, James and Bobby Birdwell. We had a good time out there. A lot of people out there. The Chamber put on a really good golf tournament out there this year. So anyway, had a good time there. Busy in the high tunnel. The plants are all getting big enough now that I got to keep the water rolling because those drip tapes, I've said it to you guys before, you got to be careful with the drip tapes. Understand what you're doing. It's not a soaker hose. It's not the water sprinkler running. Got to make sure you're putting out plenty of water. So my water is basically running almost 24/7 now. My sweet corn on the outside of the high tunnel started tasseling last Friday. Ears showed up yesterday. It's pollinating and I wish I could grow corn as good as grasshoppers grow. Man, oh, man, those grasshoppers are terrible. Anyway, tomatoes, what is the first really super hot day? Friday, yeah. Friday, when I got home from the golf tournament Friday evening, I went in the high tunnel. It looked like to me that the my tomato count on the Florida 91s, which is my far west row, celebrities are next to it. They're starting to put on pretty good now, but the Florida 91s are just rolling. Anyway, I'm almost positive that the production of the fruits on it doubled Friday. And then yesterday I randomly picked 6 plants out of 70, and my average tomato count on each one is somewhere between 18 and 23 tomatoes per plant. So anyway, super happy. I keep my fingers crossed and looking up to the blue sky that they actually taste pretty good. So anyway, the peppers are going crazy. I figure by the end of the week I'll have lots of jalapenos. I got lots of Slim Jims now. If anybody's interested in some Slim Jims, I'll bring some to the station tomorrow. Them are the habaneros. They're hot. Anyway, got those going. My baby tomatoes, the black cherries that I got from Brian Pritchard, they are coming on like crazy. So anyway, tomatoes look, garden looks great. We dug up some new potatoes again yesterday and some onions. The wife cooked up some okra and cut up some potatoes, put in the oven with some homegrown onions and had some New York strips. No, let me back up. I can't believe I just said that. Kansas City strips. Anyway, had some Kansas City strips for dinner last night. It was pretty good. Anyway, peanuts are looking awesome. I gave up on the rain yesterday. I started watering yesterday, so I'm rained out on patience with the rain. So anyway, the forecast, we went from 70% chance for 3 or 4 days to what we got now. And I know some areas down around Mangum, down south here, they all got some rain yesterday, but they were forecasting it for all western Oklahoma. That didn't work out very good. So anyway, other than that, had a set of twins, but I'll save that story for a deal I got coming up here. My landlord had a set of twins, and so anyway, I'll save that story for later on. First of all, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture here. Wheat futures dropped in overnight trading on precipitation in the U.S. Southern Plains and signs that demand globally will suffer after Turkey banned imports on the grain. Let's see. Rainfall is forecast from parts of southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, further boosting prospects for hard red winter wheat growing in the area. I'm going to stop it right there. Here's my rant. And you guys have probably said it and think it all the time. Here's my rant for the day. Anyway, rainfall is forecast for parts of southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle. Think about that. The wheat's already made from what I'm hearing. I mean, Chad was on there, what, last Monday or the Monday before? He'd been up there, and that wheat's already up there. The wheat is what their wheat. This is all paper pushing crap right here. Finally, these farmers in Oklahoma, Texas, I don't know about in Kansas yet, but I know what's going on around here, are making an awesome crop. First one in I don't know how long. 30, you know, last couple of years have been glad to get 25. Some guys did get 40, but glad to get 25. Now we're making 40, 50, 60 bushels a week because we have the right rains. It's what we call farming. This is called a good year. And as you guys have seen, the price has dropped 50, 60, 70 cents in the last week. And anyway, this kind of makes your brain just go like, I wonder if those people on the, like Kansas City and Chicago, they've ever actually been out here on the farm to see what it takes to grow a crop. And here they are playing numbers games. And I might be wrong what they're doing. There might be other reasons why the wheat price has gone down. But come on, man. The farmers are making a great crop now. And all you guys are doing is dogging the price. You get penalized for this, you get penalized for that. But you don't see farm equipment prices coming down because of a good wheat crop. You don't see chemicals coming down because we're having a good wheat crop. You don't see fuel coming down because we're having a wheat crop. Everything is going up except for wheat, and that's what the farmers need. They need the wheat to go up. So anyway, I guess that's enough about that, but just think about that. Oh, there's getting rain in southwestern Kansas and Oklahoma, Texas, Panhandle. Who cares? It's already made. Don't use that for an excuse to drop the price of wheat. Okay, I'm done. As much as 3 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the area the past month, according to the data from the National Weather Service precipitation page. About 49% of the U.S. winter wheat was in good or excellent condition last week, up a percentage point from the previous week, according to the USDA. The agency is scheduled to update its weekly crop progress report this afternoon. Prices are lower overnight after Turkey said late last week that it will halt wheat imports in a bid to protect domestic growers. Imports will be stopped from June 21st to October 15th, the country's agriculture ministry said. Wonder how much of our wheat actually goes to Turkey. Just another excuse to drop the price and play numbers games. Am I right or wrong? You tell me. Text line's wide open, 580-225-9697. Futures have fallen for 8 straight sessions now. Wheat for July delivery fell 2.25 to 6.25 1/4 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures plunged 9.25 to 6.56 1/2 a bushel. Corn futures were up 2 cents to $4.50¾ a bushel. Soybeans for July delivery gained 3 cents to $11.82¼ a bushel. Soy meal was up 2.20 to $3.62.90 a short ton, and soy oil declined 0.11 cents to 43.52 cents a pound. Net short positions, or bets on lower prices, surged in corn and beans in the week through June 4th. According to data from the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, investors held a net 219,608 future contracts in the corn last week. The agency said in a report that's up from 131,000 contracts 7 days earlier, in the largest such position since April the 23rd. Speculators held a net short position on 40,801 future contracts in soybeans, up from 1,547 a week earlier. In wheat, money managers held a bearish position on 12,331 hard red futures contracts last week. That's up from 8,700 7 days earlier. Investors were net short by 36,000 contracts in soft red winter wheat, up from 31,000 a week earlier. That's the largest set such bearish position since May the 7th. Must have been, May 7th. Okay, let's see here. Let's go see what kind of crazy weather's happening in our farm belt. Looks like Missouri's getting it. Flood warnings and advisory remain in effect this morning in much of southern Missouri, according to the National Weather Service maps. Waterways in the region have overrun their banks, and flooding has begun or will begin. Flooding will likely continue into Monday afternoon from yesterday's and Saturday's excessive rainfall. Showers and thunderstorms are likely in the southern plains this morning. Storms are expected to persist through at least tomorrow in Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. Large hail and strong winds are possible. And you know, the good thing about them talking about the rains in southwestern Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, I'm so super happy that they're getting it, because usually the panhandle of Texas and southwest Kansas, southeast Colorado, and the Oklahoma Panhandle, they're the driest spots in the area, but they're really getting some nice rains. So hopefully that's helping them with maybe using less irrigation and getting the crops in, and things are just looking awesome up there. So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When we come back, I'll have your Lipscomb's dealership ag weather ag market report for you, and we'll have forecast for out there in the Texas Panhandle. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance, is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May the 31st. 862 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 384 brought 350. 3 at 458 brought 350. 11 at 494 brought 320. 3 at 512 brought 319. 5 at 581 brought 300. 3 at 667 brought 273. 17 head of heifers brought 356. 17 head of heifers at 356 brought 325. 85. 10 at 419 brought 314. 12 at 440. One brought 300. 9 at 471 brought 283. 3 at 743 brought 220. 9 at 1044 brought 190. Butcher cows were 60 to 157. Butcher bulls brought 103 to 172. Bred cows were 1450 to 2300. Pairs brought 1150 to 2700. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm thinking, TV. I'm thinking. I'm not asleep. Thank you. Anyway, all right, welcome back. Here is your ag weather update for Childress, Texas. 70 degrees. Humidity's 91%. Dew point 67. The winds are out of the southeast at 2 miles an hour with gusts whopping up there around 3 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 20 miles an hour, 2.10 inches of rain so far this month, 10 days into it. 8-inch soil temperature, 79 degrees. All right, here is your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market Update. Corn for July, 452 up 3.5. September 457 up 3. Soybeans for July 1189 up 9.75. August 1185 up 8.25. Soybean meal July 368.20 up 7.50. August 360.30 up 5.40. Soybean oil July 43.63 unchanged. And August 43.88 up 0.01. Same. Unchanged, basically. Hard red winter wheat, not so good. July 646 up 19. September 659 up 19.25. Cotton, man. Anyway, July cotton 71.90 down 194. October 72.84 down 136. Oil out of West Texas, July 77.61 up 208. Natural gas is up 4 at 295. And that's for July. Let's see here. NASDAQ, S&P are in the green. Dow is in the red. Let's see what's happening with the live cattle. June live cattle, 183.52 up 135. August, 179.70 up 252. Feeder cattle for August, 258.27 up 335. September 259.35 up 350. Lean hogs for June, 93.9230, down 22. July's 93.17, down 32 cents. You guys remember what I talked about last week? What's coming up this Thursday, June the 13th at 8 o'clock? You got to come. It's a blast. It's fun. KCO presents Picking in the Park, brought to you by Edward Jones, Joshua Thomas, Gas, Hutches, and Tips Insurance Agency. Tips Agency. Anyway, Cody Brewer and our old man, JC. I seen him walk through the studio here just about 20 minutes ago. He's looking prime for singing this Thursday night. And Cooper Twyman and Caroline Grace will be there. It starts at 8 o'clock. Bring a chair. It'll be right over there. What is that? North of the park or north of the pool? Yeah, somewhere in that area right over there. You won't miss it. It'll be a big old gooseneck trailer for the stage. But anyway, it'll be fun. And anyway, come out and join and have some fun with Picking in the Park, brought to you by 96.5 KECO. On the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have the time or the desire to travel to the Capitol to attend legislative sessions, but we still know what happens there can drastically affect our operations. My eyes go 100 times faster in my mouth. I guess you guys figured that out by now. That's exactly why we need an organization like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then OCA is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. For more information, go to okcattlemen.org. And speaking of that, for all you OCA members, it's coming up. The 72nd Annual OCA Convention and Trade Show, July the 19th and 20th at Embassy Suites Convention Center, right there in Norman, Oklahoma. So if you hadn't registered or got your hotel room, get on it. I know everybody's busy with harvest and planting and stuff like that, but if you're going to attend it, go ahead and get the room reserved, because I had this last minute deal for me last year, and I had to stay across the road, which wasn't terrible, don't get me wrong, but anyway, it's sure a lot nicer to stay in the hotel that your party's going on. Really, it is. Anyway, that's coming up July 19th and 20th, the 72nd Annual OCA Convention and Trade Show. Maybe we get Miss Lori to come on here in the near future and talk about that coming up. She's always got a lot of great information. Let's see here. What do I got here before I go to break? Got one last thing. I seen this on Facebook. I'm not smart enough to fact check this, so it looks legit, but reading through some of the comments, maybe it's not, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. I don't know why Jimmy Rhodes come to mind when I read this, but that's another story. But it says here, a Harvard study from 2020 found wind turbines will cause more warming in Minnesota than emissions reductions would avert. Wind turbines cause local temperature increases at the surface of the earth by causing air to mix throughout portions of the atmosphere. This is where I'm not expert at this. So anyway, but I'm just reading you what it says on here. I'm not Dr. Clark. According to the study, wind turbines measuring between 100 and 150 meters, and for you Americans, that's 328 to 498 feet, operating at night can pull down warmer air from as far as 1,640 feet in the air down to the surface, warming the surface of the earth where it would impact the people, plants, animals living near turbines. The warming impact on wind turbines is immediate and highly localized in the areas that are host to the installations. Surface temperatures in the United States increase more due to wind turbines mixing air in the atmosphere than would be offset by reducing emissions. This is what it said. Well, out of curiosity, I stroll through the comment section because this was on Facebook. And you know how reliable the information on Facebook is. Anyway, there's a few comments, like, not to mention all the birds they kill. And then what else was there? This is what got my attention. How would pulling down Earth from the upper atmosphere, as they say, make it warmer? Air in the higher elevations is way colder than surface. So anyway, that's what caught my attention, that this might not be actual true news, but you never know. So then maybe that's the point, the 10 scariest words to hear. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. But anyway, there was one more. Oh, right here. And the fins have to be replaced every 3 to 5 years, which I think is longer than that. They are not biodegradable. The wind doesn't necessarily blow at critical need times. The amount of electricity produced per dollar spent is not as efficient as natural gas. I'm going to agree with that. We got so much natural gas out here. Why not use it? And my personal list goes on, but not to mention they are ugly eyesore on our beautiful rural lands. I know wind towers do help subsidize a lot of money for landowners. So I'm just reading what's here. So I don't want to get into, I'm not a fan of wind turbines. I'm sorry, but you guys that's got them on your land, go for it. It's not what I'm against. I'm just against them. But anyway, you guys are getting money off of it. But those of who have been fighting this knew that a long time ago. And then there was one cool, the ideal further of that CO2 causes warming is a red herring wrapped in a specious Marcus's political wrapper. It cannot and has never been verified through observation. Well, just so you guys know, up there in north central Oklahoma, they do have an installation up there that's actually studying what wind towers do to the weather, and they're studying it right here in Oklahoma. Now, I don't know if we'll ever hear the results. I think they're in their second or third year of it. It's supposed to have been a 5-year study. And then I heard that installation is moving to Georgia or somewhere. So there goes that study. And they might tell us this whole story. They might not, I guess. So anyway, we'll see what's going on with that. So I just wanted to share that with you because it's, I know there's a couple of guys have seen the wind turbines north of Sayre, there between Sayre and Cheyenne. When the humidity and all the moisture is just right, you can see it, the moisture sucking down or going through there. So it's got to do something. There's some big old fans. So anyway, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break. When I come back, my tractor man down at Hobart, he might be proud of the story today because we're doing a red tractor or a red equipment that's painted green, just the opposite of what we talked to about last time. We got that coming up. I got your update on your cotton report from the National Cotton Council and another one on solar. There, interesting, another story comes out on solar leasing has doubled since winter. So I updated you guys a couple months ago about more interest in solar panels. And I don't blame the farmers or the landowners who's putting wind towers and solar panels on their land, because right now the way it's going, farming sucks with the commodity prices we got going. So you might as well get something that's steadily coming in. So anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
J. 10-H Feeding Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Cross Brand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. 10-H also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free, biodegradable lick tubs. 10-H Feeding Supply is the place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. 10-H, serving the area since 1926. Visit your local 10-H and they'll get you all fixed up.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see here. Let's go with ceiling. Haven't been to ceiling in a while. 75 degrees. Back up. It just changed. 79 degrees. Dew point's 47. Humidity's 32. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 11 miles an hour with wind gust up to 16. 10-day rain total. 83 one-hundredths. Bare soil temperature. 3-day average 4 inch. 84. Sunset at 8:53. Mostly cloudy. 84 today. Winds out of the east, southeast. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 61 for a low. Tomorrow, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms, high of 87 degrees. Anyway, so how many gardeners do I have out there listening? Anyway, our text line is 580-225-9697. And what I would like to know is if somebody were to set up a good spot in Elk City for a farmer's market, would you bring your fruits and vegetables to the farmer's market? We need a really good one. Got the one at Sayre, we got one at Clinton, we got a one at Weatherford. We need one right here in Elk City also. Would you be interested in bringing your items? It's not a flea market. This is a vegetable farmer's market only. Just I'm talking about just fruits and vegetables, maybe some square bales of hay. You know, it is a farmer's market. But anyway, would you guys be interested in having one? I'm talking, I had a guy call me the other day, and we're talking about it, and we're trying to see how much interest there would be in it. And speaking of fruits and vegetables, I'm headed to Central Oklahoma with my dump trailer Sunday morning to go load up with sweet corns. And I will be back sometime Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and tune in to my Facebook page. I'll let you guys know where I'm going to be at. And I'm just bringing it. Everybody asked me, because we went up to my brother-in-law and I, ex-brother-in-law, and I went up to Panhandle here, what, year before last, and got some corn from a friend of theirs up there and brought it back, and it sold, and everybody says, when are you going to bring some more sweet corn? So anyway, I'm going to do it, and being the nice guy that I am, so I figured I'd go get a trailer load of sweet corn, and I'm going to make the rules pretty clear now. Don't get your hopes up. I'm not going to be selling 2 years here and 3 years here. I'm buying it by the sack full over there. It's a brown sack type grocery sack. So anyway, I'm guessing that's a half a bushel. Anyway, that's going to be the minimum sale. I don't have time to sell an ear here and an ear there. So you get, I think 25 ears to a bag of that, maybe 30. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, it's going to be some good corn. Anyways, this sweet corn is getting early this year. So getting ready earlier this year than normal. So anyway, I'll let you guys know. Follow me. I posted that on Facebook last night. I've had more friend requests in the last 12 hours. You think I'd hit the jackpot, or I was a good looking guy, or I'm worth millions. By the way, my friend request has come in. They just want to follow me for update on the sweet corn. I know what you're doing. And then as soon as they get their sweet corn, they're going to unfriend me. I know what's happening. All right, Larry, the tractor man from down at Hobart, are you listening? So I was poking around on Tractor Zoom yesterday when this tractor made me do a double take. My inner monologue was like, that's a farm all in, and it's painted green. Why? Believe it or not, I ask myself this question a lot more than you expect. Sometimes owners do interesting things to their tractors. I'm sure they have perfectly good reasons to. However, there's rarely an explanation in the auctioneer's description, and oftentimes it leaves me scratching my head. I picked up the phone and called Troy Orr, the auctioneer selling this tractor, and asked him. Without missing a beat, he chuckled and replied, well, that's what you're going to do to improve the resale value on these red tractors. Take that one, sugar daddy. Anyway, you've been doing this for a long time to know that green paint brings more at an auction. I laughed out loud and said, touchy, Troy, and we both had a good laugh at the joke. He didn't really know why this farm all was painted green. However, he did give me the contact information for Dennis Clark, no kin to me. The farmer who was co-signing it along with two other farm alls, a Sharp 450 and another M, in its work clothes. I picked up the phone and called him, determined to get to the bottom of this. I had a nice conversation with Dennis yesterday morning about his farming career and tractor pulling. He was a row crop farmer who was raised cattle for most of his life and retired from full-time farming about 10 years ago, with his son running the operation ever since. He still gets a little seat time in the equipment, as he puts it. As soon as my son took over, I got demoted to rock picker. I still get to play with tractors, though, so that's good enough for me. After a few minutes of small talk, I asked him about the green M. He told me that when he retired, he started building and restoring tractors for fun. Over the years, he's restored a nice 4020 Power Shift, a Farmall 450, and an Oliver 1555. He's also built this green Farmall M for the local antique tractor pulls. The M has been around our farm since about 1975, he said. I picked it up at a dealership in Jamestown, North Dakota, and put it right to work feeding cattle. At the time, I didn't have a mixer wagon, so I pulled the hopper off an old combine, put some running gear under it, and made it my own feeder wagon. That tractor was perfectly sized for it, too. We fed 180 head of cattle with this setup for years until we upgraded. After that, however, the M didn't do an awful lot. When I retired, I decided to turn it into a pulling tractor and a tractor ride tractor. Does that make sense? Tractor ride tractor. Dennis took a C264 gas engine from a Farmall 400 and built it up a little bit with an M&W high altitude piston kit. This gave him a little more power and displacement. I believe the bigger pistons and skinnier sleeves upped the displacement to 281 cubic inches. I'm fairly sure he told me that he replaced the carb with something a little hotter too. At any rate, when he bolted it to the frame and dynoed at 65 horse on the PTO shaft, pretty good number for a hot rod Farmall M painted green. So how this really come about, and we'll take a break. He said, for most of his career, the majority of Dennis Clark's farm equipment was green, save for the Farmall M and the IH-915 combine. However, one of his neighbors just down the road was a diehard red guy. Well, he stopped by one day when Dennis was working on the M, as it usually does. The red-green rivalry came up. So he decided to have a little fun with the neighbor and casually mentioned he was going to paint it John Deere green. Well, to hear Dennis say it, the neighbor's reaction didn't disappoint. He looked at me, jaw on the floor of my shop, and said, BS, you'll never paint that tractor green. Dennis grinned and said, you just wait. A few weeks later, Dennis' hot rod Farmall M rolled out of the shop with a snazzy new coat of green paint with yellow accents in all the right places. And guess what? Hold my beer. Moments are really fun, aren't they? So anyway, that was pretty cool. And so that's the story behind a green Farmall tractor. And as my man down at Hober says, red paint makes a mess sometimes in the floor. So we'll see. The green just doesn't show up as bad. They're all both messy. So anyway, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, we'll finish up the show with the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. And we'll see what else we got to talk about. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in. We'll build it. You're a oilfield customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money too. My wife will be so proud.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
KECO's Pickin' in the Park returns to Elk City's Ackley Park this Thursday. The free concert starting at 8 p.m. will feature Cody Brewer, Cooper Twyman, J.C. Aquarius, and Caroline Grace. Pickin' in the Park is presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Joshua S. Thomas, also Gas, Hutches, and the Tips Agency. Come on out and enjoy good music at KECO's Pickin' in the Park this Thursday at Ackley Park in Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. I picked the big city of Reed, America. Currently it's 80 degrees, feels like it's 82. Dew point's at 63, humidity's 57. Winds are out east, northeast at 7 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 3/10 of an inch. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature. Is that right? 87 degrees. Anyway, I guess I better check mine. Sunset, 8:51. Mostly cloudy, high of 82. Chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, 65 for a low, 30% chance. Tomorrow, 30% chance of thunderstorms. 83 east to southeast. Winds 5 to 9 miles an hour. So I'll have, whenever they come out with it today, I'll have you another update on wheat harvest, how it's rolling, what percent we're going. I noticed Hugh Miller, I think it's his. I met him up here at the Custom Harvest Convention in Oklahoma City. Anyway, they got a bunch of red combines, big old red combines. Anyway, they just finally had some of the crews move out of Texas into Oklahoma. Matter of fact, one of the cruises I seen on their Facebook page is headed towards, or was headed towards, Tologa. I guess they're there now. So anyway, I'm gonna contact them today, see if I can get them to come on the show maybe later this week. Tomorrow, if I'm gonna go check my phone signal out there today, but if my phone signal works pretty good, I'm gonna be at the Dameron Farms out somewhere west of here. I don't know even where they're at. I don't know if they're at Eric, they're at Hex, or they're on this side of the river, on that side of the river. Anyway, I'm going to go do my show for my actual wheat harvest, and actually one of my segments is going to be about moms, grandmas, aunts, cooking, what they cook, what's a fast way to feed the crews, do they put all the sugar in they're supposed to be, what do they bring ice cream? Anyway, I'm going to do a segment on that. It's it's my favorite thing. I remember when we were on harvest, it didn't matter whether you was in a combine or the truck, you're always looking for that pickup bringing food to the field. It's a pretty exciting time of harvest day as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, because not everybody lives next to a McDonald's, so you're not going to get that. Some of the best home-cooked meals are brought to the field during wheat harvest, peanut harvest, cotton harvest. So anyway, it's Anyway, be a fun day tomorrow. And then I'm going to see if I can raid one of the elevators down south. Maybe call Jared down there at Lone Wolf, see if I can come down there and do the show later on from there, later on this week, while wheat harvest is in full blast. So anyway, I think we're going to have some fun. Okay, let's check out cotton news if you guys want. Nothing really crazy going on. I did see this that you guys might be interested in because the deadline is coming up. And the United States Department of Agriculture announced that ag producers and private landowners can now sign up for the Grassland Conservation Reserve program through June the 28th. That's not very far off, 18 more days. Grassland CRP, offered by the USDA's Farm Service Agency, is a voluntary working lands conservation program that enables participants to conserve grasslands and provide important conservation benefits for wildlife, soil health, and carbon, all while continuing most grazing and haying practices. More than 2.3 million acres from agricultural producers and private landowners were accepted through the 23 Grassland CRP sign up. The current total participation in the Grassland CRP is 8.64 million acres, which is part of the 24.8 million acres enrolled in CRP opportunities overall. Landowners and producers interested in CRP should contact their local USDA service center to learn more. All it is a phone call, guys, to find out about it. And then they'll set up an appointment with you to come in. Save you a trip into town. And let's see here. Let's see what cotton sales slip, shipment steady. Net export sales for the week ending May 30th was 144,900 bales. This brings total 2324 sales to approximately 13.1 million. Total sales at the same point in 22-23 marketing year were approximately 14.2 million bales. Total new crop, 24-25 sales, currently are at 1.8 million bales. Shipments for the week were... Excuse me, I didn't mean to sniff. 170,000 bales, bringing total exports to date to 9.7 million bales compared to 10.4 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. There you have it. Let's see here. One more thing here before we go. Farm bill fireworks have exploded over proposals, mostly prominently in the by the House Republicans, to increase the so-called reference prices that trigger crop subsidy payments, while crop insurance has been a secondary issue. Farmers and ranchers bought crop insurance policies on more than 500 million acres of land last year. That's the largest amount ever. Driven by surge in popularity of forage policies, overall enrollment in the crop insurance was up 85% in the 7 years from 2016 to last year. Let's see here. Taxpayer-subsidized crop insurance is the largest USDA support for agriculture, which outlays projected by CBO at $125 billion over 10 years, compared to $61 billion for traditional crop subsidies. The government pays roughly 62% of each dollar in premium, and farmers pay the rest. Some $16 billion have been paid to date in indemnities on 23 production. Farm bill fireworks have exploded over these proposals. I got all that. Anyway, all sides call for a stronger insurance program, although disagreeing on what to bolster. The bill approved by the House Ag Committee would offer larger premium subsidies on higher levels of coverage and allow premium assistance to beginning and veteran farmers for 10 years. Let's do it. Senate Agriculture Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow, is that how you say that? Stabenow says she would make crop insurance more affordable and accessible, particularly for those beginning farmers and specialty crops. Whoa, earlier they said veterans. Where'd that go? Anyway, there are many provisions there, crop insurance, that we agree on. She said a decade ago, crop insurance covered around 290 to 295 million acres annually, and field crops accounted for more than 75% of the insured acres. Forage crops now make up an increasing portion, wrote economists Dylan Turner and Francis Tispel in the USDA's digital magazine Amber Waves. Increase in participation in this plan has contributed to the majority of the growth in increased acres over the last few years. 21 was a big year at 445 million, and 40% of it was covered by forage policy. Anyway, lucky for us, we got a lady that from Elk City that knows all about that. She's up Washington all the time, Miss Kathy Feller. I know she'll be taking care of us. Anyway, you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah Marison. God bless.